This is Michael from Colorado, a proud Patreon supporter of IVNB Podcast, and you're listening to the best marginal analysis out there, IVNB.
Hi, and welcome to the NLCS Game 2 post-game show. We didn't do one of these Saturday night after Game 1, so we'll be talking about both of those games, and we'll be looking ahead to Game 3. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
The other one is weirdly absent, but this is Kurt.
Oh, dude. I missed my cue. God bless us, everyone. Hey, it's Andy. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Andy's here. Andy's just a little slower.
That was not an alcohol-induced absence, no. Was it, Andy?
No, my significant other was bringing me actually another bottle of beer.
That should be useful.
And then she saw that I had one on deck already, and then I just was like, I just motioned, come here, like, bring it type of thing.
It's okay. I'll drink. Yeah, I could begin in, like, the second inning, so.
Yeah, I didn't drink at all. I just.
Well, fine. It just make me feel like a weirdo.
You know what I got in this cup right here, this W cup right here?
Big cup full of W.
I just splashed all over my computer. No, ginger ale. Ginger ale right here.
Oh, all right. Well, beautiful. That's the drink of the gingers, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Yep.
I can't say I'm surprised by that beverage choice.
All right.
We're not going to talk about baseball, yeah, by the way. So listening.
Here's what I want to say. I'm bummed. Let's get to Chicago and let's go to bed. Let's call it a night. Let's okay. Get the series to Chicago, yeah. And let's just go to bed.
Yeah, do we need to break this thing down?
Well, yeah, it's easy. Yeah, I mean, we feel down. We feel bummed. But, you know, how many times have we seen the Cubs win quite a number of games in a row at Wrigley Field?
Right. How do we want to do this thing? Have you guys noticed that my voice has not come back from Tuesday night's game at Wrigley? Okay, so how do we want to do this? I mean, I think we have to maybe express some of our frustrations, and maybe, don't you think we need a little bit of an opportunity to vent. Yeah, and like get a little bit of negativity out there, but then let's kind of like bring it back around to like our overall thoughts and where we think our heads need to be from this point forward.
All right. Yeah. So batter up. On the complaining.
Yeah. Baseball wise, they just got beat. They got out pitched. They had no offense. I mean, they got the asses whooped.
But still, I think they were inches away from having offense all over the place.
Sure. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
in both games,
Corey pointed this out in game one too, like freaking BABIP. They have like, I don't know what the number is because this postseason stats are a little slow, but Jesus, their BABIP must be like 058 or something. It's right. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like they hit balls hard. I mean, Coughlin hit a home run tonight that got stolen. Lots of balls that just got robbed that should have been hits. Changed the tone.
Sometimes I feel like shifting and defensive shifting is BS. But like this series so far has made me think that like, oh, this is just confirming. This is like making a case for defensive shifting.
Yeah. And even, I mean, but it was just happening all over the place. It wasn't like you could just say, oh, it was, you know, the positioning, defensive positioning necessarily, because I mean, I don't know. Like, look at that. Who was it in game one? Was it Schwarber that hit that line drive, like right back up the middle? and about took well, Harvey. Harvey thought
was it him that hit it off of?
Well, there was that Harvey. One. Too. That
it was bounced that. Off of Harvey, and then it like popped up in the air, and he somehow like fell into his glove. Wow. Didn't it fall into his glove?
No, it hit him on the back. It like rolled down his back.
But he somehow just landed right in front of him. So he just
Yeah. Like I'm amazed that somehow he didn't just like kick his leg out and the ball just flew over to first base. Like it seemed like that kind of like wizardry going on.
Yeah,
he like kicks it to first and they get the out.
It's on a pair of nunchucks and hits the ball over to first.
Right, 360 spin kick, Chuck Norris style. Out.
He's got the action slacks on.
Oh yeah, there was some bullshit there, but at the same time, I mean, man, that offensively just couldn't get anything put together.
Well, you can't get anything put together when everything you hit is like 98 miles per hour off the bat and directly into someone's glove. I mean, how many like snow cone catches did they have in game mm-hmm. one, the Mets? You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and well, and then so in game one you had David Ross come about a foot away from hitting a homer, probably. In this game, you had Coughlin come about a foot away from hitting a homer.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's just a few just narrow misses as far as that's concerned. But I still feel like the Cubs could focus on just trying to string some hits together rather than – does it seem like they're still trying to go deep all the time?
In a way,
I mean, I
maybe.
Think when they get behind like that and like the pitchers are dealing, I think, yeah, they're trying to just get something positive. But
right. Like, I think at some point they're just like, hey, maybe if we can, you know, even if it's just a solo shot, just to kind of like stop the bleeding and turn the momentum a little bit, they might be looking for something like that. But I don't know. And that's not the weather to really do that. Although the Mets didn't have any trouble hitting home runs in the last two games.
Well, how about the Chris Bryant double tonight off the wall that was narrowly missed a homer? I mean, it just seems like the first two games have been so much about just narrow misses for the Cubs.
Right. Incredibly. I mean, I think you can kind of sum up these first two games as just like insanely unlucky for the Cubs. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I would agree. I wouldn't fight that, but I also think like Mets pitching was just good. I mean, you have to give them some credit. Like they
They
did their job, and Cubs pitching absolutely didn't do their job. I mean, the bullpen was good, but starting pitching wise, geez. You know, I think all of us had confidence going into tonight with Arrieta, but that was pretty ugly.
But at the same time,
you know, if Murphy doesn't jack that ridiculous shoelace home run, it's a game, you know.
That was a good
pitch. He settled
down
after that.
That I thought that was a pretty good pitch. That, yeah. Like the way the bottom dropped off of that curveball, and then he just like mm-hmm. freaking like does a golf swing, almost like he's hitting something off of a golf tee,
right?
And it goes out. I mean, that was just the cheapest, luckiest home run. I mean, the exit velocity on that was, they even mentioned that was 90. Like. Yeah, it was super low just kind of like got so lucky on it, I thought.
But they say 1% of home runs are that velocity. Or 1% of balls hit that hard go out. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, something really low like that.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. Well, let's stick on pitching for a second. With Arrieta, like, this really does kind of concern me because it almost maybe seems like Arrieta's run out of gas.
I was just going to say that. I think you're right. I mean, the innings count is getting up there. I think he could find it again, but these last couple of games, either emotionally or physically, I think he's wiped. He just didn't look comfortable.
Yeah. It really seems.
that's why I think our speechlessness is that, you know, without Arrieta pitching well, and then zero, you know, no offense behind him, like it's going to be tough for the Cubs to.
Well, I'll tell you what, though,
a lot of series, but
well, I don't think so. But we'll save that for our positive. We'll save that for our positive moments. But man, you guys can vouch for this, but I was really frustrated with Lester last night.
Really? I didn't notice.
I thought it was all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. And
oh man, you're blowing up the
our group
the message
text
thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I was getting kind of mad at you, Corey, to be honest.
I was too. I was like, damn it, man. You know, like, he didn't pitch that bad.
I don't know.
And then to back it up with the way Arrieta pitched tonight.
Right.
Like, you have to be just as pissed at Arrieta if you're pissed at Lester.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you're right, Andy, like when you said, you know, that really wasn't that bad of a pitch. That Murphy took out. I mean, I think that, I don't know, Arrieta was definitely not hitting his spots. I don't know. For some reason, I just don't blame Arrieta. I'm disappointed in his outing, but it didn't seem like he made as many mistakes as Lester did. I'm not sure if that's true, but I mean, that's what got me about Lester, was that he made mistakes. And, you know, like, look at that home run that he gave up to Granderson in the fifth. He had an 0-2 count with two outs, and it was tied 1-1. So that home run put the Mets up 2-1, but 0-2 with two outs, those pitches should not have been in the zone, let alone something that he could drive. And I don't, you know, it's not that, I know there's a lot of crazy stuff out there on social media right now. So, you know, it's not that I think that Lester sucks. I don't think that he just cashed in his paycheck. I just think that I think that he's a guy that has pitched in 16 postseason games. He started 14 of them. And, like, those are mistakes that he shouldn't be making in the postseason.
Yeah, he did make some pretty bad mistakes that they capitalized on. I think on that particular pitch you're talking about, wasn't it kind of a high in the zone fastball that he was probably trying to elevate a little bit more?
To be honest, I don't even remember where it was.
Yeah, I think it was something like that where you could see what the plan was, but it just, yeah, it just failed.
Yeah. I just remembered like instantly. I was like, wait a minute, it's 0-2. Like, why is a guy able to, like, you know, drive a pitch out on an 0-2 count? I don't know, but it was just like, it wasn't just specific pitches either. I mean, so he only went 6 2/3 innings. I think you would kind of like him to maybe go a little bit longer than that. He had the first runner on. He gave up a base hit to the leadoff batter in the second. He walked the leadoff batter in the fourth, and then he gave up another hit to the leadoff batter in the seventh. And it's really tough when Lester lets guys on, you know, puts the first or second batters in the inning on, you know, if there's no outs or one out and he lets somebody, you know, put somebody on base, it's not good because he can't hold them, you know. And I mean, luckily the Mets are not a particularly fast team. They still stole two bases, but I don't know. I think I get it. What Lester means to this team and everything like that. Like Andy, in our text message, I think you said something about him being somewhat of a symbol or whatever. And
that was me, but yeah.
Okay. So I just think that he's the guy that you should expect to take the team on his back when the offense is having trouble. And he didn't do that. And he made some mistakes. And I was really frustrated with yesterday's game.
He's been trying to take the team on his back all season when the offense is having trouble.
Yeah, I get it. I know.
So, but, like, I think it's time for us to, okay, let's set aside the fact that he's getting paid ace money.
Right. Yeah. Right? I don't.
He's getting paid ace money. So
he's getting paid.
But that's
he was getting.
Let's set that aside for right now. I think it's time for us to come to terms with the fact that he is going to be, going forward, the number two pitcher in the rotation, getting paid ace money.
Right. That's what I said, though. Like, I don't care about what his contract was or anything. I look at a guy that's pitched in 16 postseason games and has started 14 of them. And he's a guy that you would like to be able to rely on in game one of an NLCS.
Yeah. Well, I can't really necessarily speak to his postseason numbers, but I want to just, like, I feel like I want to say a few things in defense of Lester, just generally speaking. I tweeted a few tweets out in a row tonight. But one thing that really stuck out to me about Lester this season, in the regular season, he had a 306 BABIP against him, which is really high. And just for a reference, I found some other, I was just looking at some other like ace caliber pitchers, like Zach Greinke, for example, last year had a 312 BABIP against, which is pretty comparable to Lester's 306 this year. And Lester had 66% quality starts this season. And last year, Greinke had 66% quality starts. Now this year, Greinke had a 232 BABIP against him, and he had 94% quality starts. And that number was just really striking to me as far as what, you know, the effect of BABIP.
Yeah. I wonder how much that comes. I mean, Lester, when he does get hit, he gets hit hard. So I wonder if, like, it doesn't seem fluky to me. It seems sort of like, yeah, he gives up some hard hits, but his game plan is minimize damage. You know, he's not, at least this year, he has not been, you know, like Arrieta, just, you just never allow base runners, where, you know, Lester's going to put guys on, but limit damage, I guess, is what, I don't know. So no, it seems like right. He got hit hard. He gave up a lot of home runs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're right. I mean, Andy, you mentioned that he didn't get much run support at all throughout the season. And that's definitely true. And it was true in game one, you know, yesterday's game one of the NLCS too. But I get it. I understand.
For example, I'm not totally scored two more runs in five of his losses, that it would have won or at least tied the game. And so he could have easily been 14-12 or, you know, up to 16-12.
Right.
You know, I realize it could have gone the other way too, I'm sure, in some of his wins, but
but my frustration, like, is really just limited to yesterday's game. Like, I'm not down on Lester, you know, and I think some fans probably are, but I'm not down on Lester, like, over the course of this season. I think he pushed through a lot of stuff. Remember him starting the season with a dead arm, probably should have started on the disabled list. But
instead started game one. Yeah.
Right.
I think, like, just me looking up these like peripheral numbers, it just goes to show that he is going to get better over the course of his contract numbers wise. And then also a lot of people have been pointing out to me, which makes sense, that having Ross in the lineup with Lester leads to some of the lack of run support. And I agree with that. But I would say too, Miggy has been a little bit better than Ross at the plate, but not a ton. I mean, and then also I think, you know, once Ross retires here, I mean, Lester is going to have to pitch to a better hitting catcher. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's no way that his numbers don't get better than they were this season.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk in the chat about how, you know, Kilgard's mentioning that, you know, these batters that the Cubs have aren't hitting well in cold weather. And I mean, I think it would look like that on paper, but I'm looking at, like we were talking about, the hard contact that they were getting yesterday's game, especially game one. Today it kind of started off that way in game two, but then it definitely slowed down in those middle innings until like the sixth. But I don't know. I mean, you know, this last series in St. Louis, it wasn't terribly, I mean, it wasn't like brutally cold or anything, or, I mean, it was kind of like an in between. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I guess it was, I mean, it looked really cold in New York tonight. And I think that, most teams are probably going to struggle with hitting in really cold weather like that. But
still, I mean, like, with the ridiculous length of the MLB season and the fact that it wraps up in November now, right? The World Series.
Right.
I mean, they're going to have to be able to hit in cold weather if they're going to go all the way.
That's why I was so if the Cubs go to the World Series and they play Toronto, that means they get to play in a dome, at least for, you know, four of the seven games.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a whole different topic, but I feel like the I feel like the baseball season's too long. I mean, it shouldn't go this late if they have stadiums that are freaking in, you know, buried deep in a gelid tundra by the time the freaking World Series is over.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, the Cubs are going to have to play well in cold weather. Still, I saw, I think it was Andrew Cieslak tweeted something about how I think they just need to get back to some warm weather. I think there's something to that. I just think, like, mentally, and getting back to Wrigley, feeling, you know, some 60 degree temps are going to have quite a, I don't know, just an impact on the team.
No, I think you're right.
Mentally.
Yeah, and Kilgard also mentions in there that that's why they need high OBP guys. And that's the thing is, this team does have a pretty good OBP. I mean, they take a lot of walks and everything. The problem is that the Mets pitchers don't walk batters. Mets pitchers throw strikes. And so, like, this is not necessarily a good matchup. If you're looking for the Cubs to do what they've done all season long, which is drive up the pitch count on the opposing pitchers and to have that good plate discipline that we've seen all season, it's not really going to work against the Mets because they throw strikes. So, which I think we saw, I mean, the Cubs were behind in the count. Anytime they were like, they would go up and try to take a pitch or two, all of a sudden they're down 0-2, and it just does. It's not a good recipe against these Mets pitchers.
No, but at the same time, I mean, none of us like to, you know, tip our hats to the other team. But the pitching for the Mets was pretty,
it was good,
pretty
yeah.
darn good. I mean,
right?
Cold
not that you could tell from not that you could tell from pitch tracks. But.
No, that was ridiculous. There's like pitches right over the heart of the plate, and they would be showing it like on the edge, like just caught it. Like, this is ridiculous. It was so bad. But yeah, I mean, they performed, like, you look at they had their game plan and they executed their game plan. The Cubs didn't.
Right.
Right. On pitching or offense. So again, I don't know. I think the Mets do deserve some credit, even though I'm not super happy about saying it.
No, I think you're right. I mean, they've definitely played better these first two games. I don't know. Do we have all of our negativity out of our system? Can we get positive now?
Yeah,
but we can try.
Here's what I think. I think they go back to Chicago and win all three games.
Yeah, I think so too.
I have to think that. You know, like, I'm not going to say otherwise. I think.
Well, I don't have to totally say it. I really do believe it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe 80% confidence they do that.
Here's one of the reasons why. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. I think, Andy, you already mentioned getting back to Wrigley Field and kind of like a little bit warmer weather and everything. But we saw this team in the second half of the season lose two or three games in a row, and everybody freaked out about it, and then they'd reel off 9-10 wins in a row. And that's kind of what this feels like. Like, it almost feels like they lost a series against the Mets, and now they're going back to Wrigley, and oh look, we got another series with the Mets. And it's right.
Think about the last game they played at Wrigley, which was game 4 of the series against the Cardinals.
Right.
I'm sorry, game 4, I'm sorry. 5-game series. They won game 4, and so once they get back there, you know, that comes flashing back. They start to feel some self-efficacy again. And I have no problem seeing them win 3 games straight there. And then they just have to go back to New York and win at least one in New York.
Yeah.
Which isn't a crazy scenario by any stretch of the imagination.
Especially if the Cubs can take 3 in a row at Wrigley, then the Mets are like, have their backs up against the wall. They're on their heels. And I think that it should be pretty easy for the Cubs to win one of those. But I think the weird thing is like, if you look at the pitching matchups, they don't favor the Cubs, but Hendricks pitched pretty well last time. And mm-hmm. if they go with Hamill in 4, he did okay. I mean, the bullpen is pitching well. So
right. Look at Richard and Wood tonight. Just for, well, I guess what did, oh, I guess Richard just gave up a base runner. But I mean, the, yeah, you're right. The guys that are going to be long relief have been solid.
Yeah,
Wood was really good tonight.
Yeah, he was.
Hopefully, he, you know, the day off puts him back in a position to hopefully do the same Tuesday, because I think they're going to need him on Tuesday. But you know, like that card, that game was the game we were at that in St. Louis that they put together that kind of game, and it went really well. I mean, Hendricks was really good through like four, and then Wood comes in and gives you a couple, and that's worked well for them. And I'm good with that kind of an outing, as long as the offense shows up. I think that that's a winnable game.
Yeah, for sure. I see a lot of people talking about the absence of Addison and the effect it has on the team. What do you guys think about that? You think?
I think certainly defensively, there's a couple of plays where maybe Russell's quickness gets to it over Baez, but I don't want to hate on Baez, but I agree that I think maybe he makes a couple defensive plays. But you know, Baez hit that home run that was pretty big, and
yeah, so. I don't know. I don't think it's really the time to look at two losses when the Cubs actually, you know, especially in game one, hit the ball pretty hard, and their pitching kind of didn't carry them. And like, I'm not ready to start looking at like, oh, okay, so what's the difference between the Cardinals series and this series? Oh, it's Addison Russell. That must be the problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, I think it's worth bringing up, but to be honest, like Addison Russell, I kind of feel like Javier Baez is as much of a threat at the plate as Addison Russell is, if not more so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was kind of my thought, is that I think we get back to Wrigley. I could easily see Javier Baez doing a bunch of damage at the plate. I don't have any trouble envisioning that.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely don't think you're losing anything offensively, or certainly gaining a lot of power. I do think defensively you lose a little, but not to say, right. Baez is still a really good defender. So
yeah, and I think that like that ball that he bobbled today, I would have, like, I don't think he was getting anybody. I don't think they were going to get the force at second, and I don't think he was going to get it over to first. So I mean, it was like, it was almost like him, like, just pretend that he thought twice and decided just to eat it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I honestly, like, I'm not really, I think that it's possible. I'm not ready to like say that this is the absolute truth, but I'm almost thinking that I am as confident in the Cubs winning this series right now as I was 6 hours ago.
Oh, I've definitely taken a hit to the confidence. I'm not dejected entirely. I don't think they don't have a shot. Like, I don't want to overplay it, but certainly 0-2 is worse than 1-1.
I guess it's just because I thought if the Cubs could win today, I thought that series is not going back to New York. The Cubs are going to wrap it up at Wrigley. So that means, yeah, I feel that the Cubs can win the next three games at Wrigley. I think that's what it is I'm like, I've just assumed that the Cubs are going to win those three games at Wrigley, and mm-hmm. what they did tonight or on Saturday night has no bearing in the next three games. And if anything, I think this team responds well to losing. They have all season long. They don't like, do you think this team's going to like, I'm not saying that like maybe the clubhouse wasn't a big party, you know. I'm not going to say that like it wasn't quiet in there, or that the plane ride home tonight might be a little quiet, but I think that when they get to the ballpark tomorrow to do their workouts and stuff like that, I think they'll be loose again, and I think come Tuesday they're going to be loose, they're going to be ready to go. And to be honest, I'm really hoping that the fans are there and ready to go. And we kind of go back to this whole, is it going to be like a graveyard in there? Is it all these people thinking, oh, I mean, I cannot believe I saw people on like Twitter and stuff tonight talking about like curses and talking like, oh, see, it's the great collapse. It's like, for crying out loud. I mean, yeah, like only one baseball team wins the championship every year. So does that mean the team that lost in the World Series is cursed, or the team that lost in the World Series, like, it's their great collapse? How in the heck? Like, what?
That's a good way. Social media is toxic. Like, it's never going away, because there's always idiots.
I feel really lucky that like, everybody I follow on social media, I think, is a good person. I've anybody that I think is not a good person, I've kind of weeded out, or they've weeded me out. Like, you know, a certain sports writer in Peoria, or several sports writers in Chicago.
But that's a great way of putting it, though, Corey. I mean, like, you know, one team out of freaking 30, right? wins every year. And then so, like, the Cubs could be, you know, one of the top four teams in the league, and you're still going to bring up those garbage curses and stuff. Like,
yeah.
That's ridiculous. Obviously,
this is like the least cursed team in the world.
right.
They're incredible. So yeah.
Well, and even just the negativity about like certain players, you know, like I saw so much about, like, you know, like, here's what happened. I don't know if you guys even saw what happened, but, like, I think there was a press conference before the game when Madden said something about how Soler, it was really cold for Soler, and, you know, kind of acting like that was the reason that he wasn't in the lineup, which, if that's what he said, I would assume that was tongue in cheek. You know, like, I don't think a manager's going to say, oh yeah, it's 40, it's too cold for Soler. I think he just liked the matchup. And then who did he put in? Coughlin, who took Syndergaard deep. It just happened to be that there was a glove on the other side of the fence to stop it. But anyways, I saw all this stuff about, like, you know, Matt, like, crazy stuff about Soler, and, you know, words I'm not going to say on here. And it's like, get out. Like, really? Do you want to call him that to his face? I dare you. I dare you. I don't care if it's 10 below. I dare you to walk up to him and call him that.
Oh, man. And after having seen the Cubs lose one to the Cardinals and then go on to win that series.
Right.
And then then you get a little bit of adversity now, and then all of a sudden you're back to full panic mode.
Right.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Just delete your account. I think that's what the kids say these days. Just freaking delete your account and log off. Just log off.
I don't know. I mean, but those fans are going to be, you know, they're the ones, and everything stands out when there's a loss. You know what I mean? Like, I saw, you know, people that I'm friends with in real life that happen to be Cubs fans. And I saw stuff on Facebook yesterday about, you know, how lazy this team is and that they don't run to first base. And I was like, dude, we got like, what, I don't, how old is Miggy? Like 34. And he, like, sprints to first base on a walk. You know, the mantra is respect 90. I mean, I don't know. I'm not,
but you're right. A win kind of covers up,
right?
You
know, yeah.
Weaknesses in their game or flaws and that type of thing. And then, you know, a loss magnifies those things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really easy. I mean, I always say this, that I think it's really easy to be the naysayer, because if you're wrong, then you get to celebrate it with everybody else. And if you're right, then you get to look,
oh, what, like, a pleasant surprise.
Right. Right. Oh, I knew it. I knew they shouldn't have done this, but, you know, I don't really know what else to say.
Well, at the end of the day, it's baseball, you know?
Right.
I guess people probably hate on us for being, like, a little bit not pissed off enough or whatever, but, you know.
Well, I think it's just important.
It's baseball. I love baseball. I want the Cubs to win, but
when we've seen such,
you know, I'm not going to weep tonight.
Right, right. Because, you know what? I am paying attention to baseball on October 18th. And 3 years ago, I was paying attention to really shitty baseball and the Arizona Fall League. So,
right. Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, you can't blame. I mean, yeah, up front, we said we're all disappointed. We're all a little bit down. It's hard not to. It's hard not to feel that way after you see what happened to your best pitcher tonight and those type of things. But we all, I don't think anyone's being honest if they predicted a 97 win team this season, you know, back in April. And, you know, most people predicted an 80 some win team. And then here we are going, making a deep run into October. And so if you are going to be upset and negative, then like I said before, just log off.
Yeah.
Delete your account.
Yeah.
But yeah, but let's do this, you know, do it in Wrigley.
Right. Yeah. And if, you know, if you're going to game three, man, be loud, like root these kids on and make that place shake like it was, you know, on Tuesday night when they clinched, because, I don't know. I feel like these players deserve that. I think other fans deserve it. You know, like if I'm going, I'm going to cheer, you know, I'm going to game five and I'm going to cheer as loud as I can, because I think whoever's sitting around me deserves that. Not me cheering, but you know, just that experience.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Well, do we want to, I don't know, anything else you guys want to talk about with these first two games? Can we just put them to bed and
ready to move on? Yeah, let's turn the page on that.
Right, it's game three. Well, I looked at. Did either of you guys kind of look at what DeGrom has done against the Cubs?
Did I?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I haven't done research.
Right.
This is all motion, man.
Right.
This is reaction.
Well, I think here's what we're going to, if we look ahead to the matchups for game three, I mean, it's DeGrom against Kyle Hendricks.
Let me say up front, though, that DeGrom in Spanish means of the Grom. So I don't know if you guys knew that.
Did not. Here's what I think it boils down to. I mean, you can look at, okay, so the Cubs batters against DeGrom are hitting a combined 270 and 400 OBP. Obviously, they haven't faced him very much. The most at bats is Rizzo, and he has three hits. Next most is Castro, and he has two hits. Rizzo and Bryant have hit home runs off of him, but like really it's such a small sample size. It doesn't matter. And I think that's what it comes down to with Hendricks too, that he's had limited action against the Mets. I mean, he really, this season, he only pitched against them on June 30th. He went six innings, and I'm talking about Hendricks here, just to be clear. He went six innings and gave up, he didn't give up any runs, and he did allow three hits. He struck out six and walked one, but that was a Mets team that was not much of a threat offensively, and they have gotten healthy and retooled, and Murphy has become whatever the heck he's become.
Well, I mean, the Cubs are kind of fortunate that Cespedes hasn't really had that much impact so
right.
far.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Cubs have touched up DeGrom this season already, like what, to the tune of like seven earned runs. So, it's not like they haven't had success against him before.
Right. I just think that, I think right now in the, I mean, when the Cubs, I just think the two teams are so different than when they faced before this season. And, I mean, we've heard that over and over, and I think it's true. And I think you just, I think you just throw all of it out the window. The sample sizes are too small. I just don't think it, I'm not going to look at this, DeGrom's numbers against the Cubs or Hendricks' numbers against the Mets and think like, oh, okay, that's going to tell us how this game is going to go. Because, I mean, if it does, that's fine, because the Cubs' numbers against DeGrom are better. So let's hope that it is an indication of how the game will go.
I broke into every place that with servers that house the song Small Sample Size, and I destroyed all the servers. The song doesn't exist anymore.
It never did exist. This is an alternate reality.
Small sample size, oh, small sample size.
I'm going to log off and small delete my account.
Size, ears bleeding profusely.
Small sample size.
Hey, Andy talks about going in and deleting it off servers. You know it's coming.
We're playing small sample size on October 18th. What the hell happened?
Oh man. All right. Well, do we have any? I don't, whatever. I don't know.
What to, whatever.
I don't know what to say about game three. It's just, it's going to happen. The Cubs are going to win. Schwarber's going to like hit a home run that crushes the encased ball on top of the scoreboard. And
he's going to knock it off his stand and then the new ball is going to land.
He's going to hit a line drive that is hit so hard that it knocks the scoreboard over.
He's going to hit a line drive home run to the patio in right field. It's going to blow somebody's head off their shoulders.
Oh, no.
The head's going to fly up above the scoreboard and bounce off of the plexiglass and shatter it.
And then they're going to put a case around it.
They're going to put a case. The head's going to land up there. The ball's going to end up in the mouth of the head, and they're going to put a casing around the head and the ball that's inside the mouth. Yeah.
Fans are tweeting, I think you should leave it there.
Just put a case on it.
Forever. Don't ever take it down. Oh, man. This got weird.
Yeah, it's like a Futurama. Futurama.
Yeah, I hope you don't have seats in right field if you're going on Tuesday.
If you do, keep your wits about you.
Watch your noggin. Although maybe somebody's going to be there.
If you liked it, then you should have put a head on it.
Somebody's making a
make sure you bring your Tony Campana glove to block your face.
Hold up your big floppy.
Oh gosh. Can we be done?
At least we're laughing, right?
Right. You know, I am feeling pretty good. I'm feeling all right.
I don't know that I am. I'm ready for bed.
Well, so I don't know if we have talked about it on here, but we are going to game five. Have we talked about that on the podcast? I don't think we have.
Not on the podcast.
But no. So we are going to game five. And a big thanks to Lauren and Blake. For hooking us up with tickets and, they weren't able to go. And so worked out well for us. You are heroes. Lauren's in the chat right now. So Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.
It's going to be fun. So we will be up there on Thursday. And so if you're going to the game Thursday, or if you're going to be in the neighborhood, we're going to, have a little get together, a little meetup beforehand. We haven't really talked about the details. I think we've agreed that we're going to go to D'Agostino's, which, is on, what is that? Addison and Southport, I think. I believe that's where it is. So we're going to go there. It's a pizza place. They have pizza and beer, which are two things I would be interested in that day. So what, maybe I think let's say like 4 o'clock game time, 7, let's shoot for like 4 o'clock. That's when we'll meet there and, we'll try to make it happen. Does that work for you guys?
Oh yeah. We'll see. I'm still trying.
Yeah, we'll see. That's all I can say.
Still trying to figure out like when I can get off of work and
yeah, me too.
Right.
That, you know, classic day game Cubs fan type of stuff, even though it's not a day game. It's like, it's kind of like going to a day game for us because it takes us 3 hours to get there.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think
you got to get home.
I'm planning on working a half day. So I think that I will be at D'Agostino's by 4. So let's meet there at 4 and it should be fun. But before, you know, we should make some, do you guys have any, predictions for game three before we wrap this up? Score predictions?
But I could make some stuff up.
Sure, go ahead.
Cubs win. I think the offense comes to life finally. They score 6, hold the Mets to 3. Hendricks goes kind of similar to the St. Louis game. Hendricks goes into the 4th, and Wood comes in and gets a couple. Bullpen is really good. 6-3.
I'm going to say Cubs 8, Mets 5, and a lot of the Cubs runs come off of bullpen pitchers because they're able to work really good at bats against DeGrom. Yep.
I'm saying 6-5 Cubs, obviously.
I hope it's not that close.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I think that. I'm just going with it. So,
As long as it's a win, I'll take it.
Yep. I'm going to say 8-5, one decapitated Mets fan's head on top of the scoreboard. It's not a Cubs fan. It's a Mets fan.
It's a ball in the mouth.
They don't know as much to pay attention when Schwarber's at bat. And so it's a Mets fan head on top of the scoreboard, 8-5.
They don't know that.
Win.
They don't
exploded
know.
Exploded plexiglass.
I'm sure it's going to happen. If it happens just like that, we're going to feel really bad.
Yeah, it's Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld is in the right field patio that day. His head gets blown off of his shoulders by a Schwarber home run. He's like, hey, the thing about watching a game in right field is, what's the deal with watching a game in right field?
Oh, man. All right. We're going to wrap this thing up. So this episode was brought to you by all 115 of our Patreon supporters. Patreon helps us pay the podcasting bills, and it helps us keep this thing going, and it allows us to improve things. Your support has allowed us to put out these extra episodes here in the outfield, or in the outfield, off-season. It's helped us pay for the extra bandwidth and everything. We'd like to thank those that jumped on the Patreon campaign here in the last few days. Dan from Davenport, Iowa. Dan's a good guy. He's been supportive of us for a long time. Barry from Raynham, Massachusetts. And he's joined as a Hall of Fame level contributor. And Philip from Louisville, Kentucky. So thanks to those three guys for becoming Patreon supporters. If you enjoy this podcast and you enjoy what we are doing with Ivy Envy, you can support the show by checking out the Patreon campaign. Pledging levels start at just $1 a month. And I feel like we've given you a dollar's worth of content here over the last 8 to 10 episodes. I think it equals about $1. So there's perks at every level, and you can get some Ivy Envy gear. Check it all out at patreon.com/IvyEnvy. That's patreon.com/IvyEnvy. So we will be back on Tuesday night with the post-game show for Game 3. If you're going to the game, be loud, cheer on our boys in blue, and until Tuesday night, go Cubs!